to your faith. It's one of those books that was written, a letter that was written to the churches of what we today call Asia Minor, the area of Turkey, and there was a growing challenge to the Christians in these little churches in that region. And I was thinking to myself, you know, there's a lot of similarities to the kind of environment that we're finding ourselves in today. We're experiencing more and more pushback as Christians, as churches, pushback from the government, from the media, from the education system, in fact, from the community in general. It's not quite as cool to be a Christian these days as it maybe was once upon a time. And so in the book of 1 Peter, Peter is trying to encourage these people to stay strong and to stay faithful to God against that kind of secularizing influence that is taking place. But when we get to chapter 5, there's quite an abrupt change in the kind of things that Peter is writing about. And he turns his attention to the elders in these churches that he's writing to. And if you've got your Bibles open there to 1 Peter chapter 5, you can read in the very first verse there. He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings." But who are these elders? Who are these elders in these churches? Well, it might help us just at the beginning of this message just to clarify some of the terminology that we find in the New Testament when it comes to the leaders of the local church. Both the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul in their letters, they use three terms interchangeably when they're talking about the church leaders. They use the word elder, they use the word shepherd or pastor, and they use the word overseer. And as you're reading through the New Testament, you'll come up against these three terms, elder, pastor or shepherd, and overseer. Let me just give you an example from Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul was on his way by boat to Jerusalem, and he bypassed Ephesus. He went to a place called Miletus, which was some distance, maybe 100 kilometres south of Ephesus. But he sent a message back to the church at Ephesus, and he asked for the leaders of the church to come down to him so he could have one final conversation with them. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, he says this, "From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church." And then if we read on a bit further down, when we get to verse 28, he says to these elders of the church at Ephesus, he says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." Then we read on, "Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." And so he's calling for the elders, and then he calls them overseers, and then he calls them shepherds. And so he's using three different terms to refer to the same office. And Peter does a similar thing in 1 Peter chapter 5. If you look at verses 1 and 2, he says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be." He calls them elders in verse 1. Then in verse 2, he tells them to pastor or to shepherd God's flock. And in that same verse, he instructs them to watch over. And that Greek word watch over is the same word that we use for overseer. And so putting all this together, we see that in the New Testament, the title elder is interchangeable with the title shepherd or pastor, or the title overseer. We're referring to the same person, the same office. When it comes to deacons, the role is different, and it has more of a kind of supportive function. All right, it is distinctly different from the role of an elder or pastor or overseer. One other feature that we notice about the ministry of elders is that some of these spiritual leaders have a special role when it comes to preaching and teaching. And Paul talks about this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And he says that there are some elders in the church at Ephesus, that's where Timothy was the senior pastor. Some of these elders have a special responsibility for preaching and teaching. And he says those elders whose special responsibility is preaching and teaching should be paid so that they could do their work a little bit more effectively. In our circles, we've tended to call the full-time elders who teach and preach, we've tended to call them pastor. That's just to distinguish him, the paid elder from the non-paid elders. But, I mean, it's only a sort of a practical way of understanding the difference. But we should be very clear, the pastor is still an elder. He's a specialised elder, if you like, if you want to put it in those terms. And so in your context here in Gympie, I understand you have five elders. And of those five elders, one of them is a paid elder. And you call that elder Pastor Ben. Okay, so is everybody clear? That was just that I just wanted to sort of set the scene so that we're a little bit clearer in our understanding of what we're talking about here in these verses from 1 Peter chapter 5. One of the greatest needs of churches in the New Testament times was the need for good leadership, for elders who were godly, for elders who were courageous leaders, for elders who would care spiritually for the people in their churches. And that need hasn't changed. Still today, one of the greatest needs that we have in our churches here in Queensland is for good leaders. But what should we look for when we're choosing those leaders? What type of people should they be? What are their main roles and responsibilities? And this is where these verses today from 1 Peter chapter 5 come in. And as we look more closely at these verses, what we need to be doing is we need to be asking ourselves, what are they saying to the church here in Gympie? What are they saying to the leaders of the church here in Gympie? Let's look at verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Right, remember, it is the great Apostle Peter who is writing these words. He's one of the senior leaders of the early church, and he's saying to the people that he's writing to that I am a fellow elder. I'm one of you. He doesn't issue a sort of a command as the Apostle Peter, which he could have done. It's more a brotherly appeal to them. He's saying to them, I'm one of you guys. I understand what it's like to lead a local church. He puts himself on the same level as these men that he's appealing to. Many of these churches, as I said before, were being persecuted. They're experiencing pressure, opposition, hardship. And Peter is saying, I know what that's like because I've experienced that too. And he is wanting to encourage the elders of these churches scattered throughout Turkey to be strong and to courageous and to take their responsibility as leaders of these churches very seriously. He knew that these elders that he's writing to were going to be targets for persecution. And he wants to encourage them. He knows from personal experience the cost of being a godly elder. He says there in verse 1, I appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. He'd seen Jesus suffer. He'd suffered himself, and he's saying, I want to encourage you guys who are going to be the leaders of these churches. And in the next three verses, verses 2, 3, and 4, what Peter does is he covers three important aspects of life and ministry of an elder or a pastor, whatever you want to call him. The first is this. He talks about the elder's role or his calling, the elder's calling. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing as God wants you to be. An elder's role, first and foremost, is to be a shepherd or pastor of the church, of God's flock. The word pastor comes from the Latin word for shepherd. In those days, the days in which Peter is writing, people would have been very familiar with the work of shepherds. What do shepherds do? Well, they make sure that the sheep were being fed and watered. They were protecting them from the wolves and the other predators that might have been out to get them. They provided treatment for them when they were injured. They went out looking for them when they got lost. They even knew the names of their sheep personally by name. That was the role of the shepherd. The well-being of those sheep was totally dependent on the care and the attention that they received from their shepherd. If the shepherds didn't do their job, well, then the sheep would suffer. They may not even survive. They would be scattered. And in a similar way, the job of an elder, their primary role, is to care for the spiritual welfare of their people. That was their primary job, to care for the spiritual welfare of their people. It's a spiritual role, being the leader of a church. Pastors and elders are responsible for feeding their people the Word of God, to keep their people healthy, to keep them growing in their relationship with the Lord, to faithfully front up and to stand here at this lectern here week by week by week and to open the Bible and to feed you people the Word of God. This is the job, the primary job of the elders, the pastor of this church. To preach the Word of God, to apply the Bible to the daily challenges of life. To give words of counsel and advice. To pray with people. To disciple new Christians. To challenge those who are older in their faith to keep on pressing on and persevering in their faith. To comfort and encourage people when they're struggling and hurting. To visit people when they're sick and in hospital or missing from church. To keep the gospel and to keep gospel ministry front and center on the agenda of the church. To make sure that the church has a mission focus and doesn't just simply become a social club. This is the job of the elders, to teach sound doctrine and in doing so to protect the church from false teaching. To help keep this church united and loving. To resolve disagreements when they occur and to keep holding the church together. This is the number one priority of godly elders, to be spiritual shepherds. Verse 4 tells us that one day the chief shepherd is going to appear. Who's the chief shepherd? Jesus, that's right, yes. He's the real senior pastor of this church. He's the real senior elder. The other leaders and the elders of the church serve under him. They're the under-shepherds, if you like. And this church does not belong to the elders. It belongs to the chief shepherd. It is God's flock that these shepherds are to look after. And so the church leaders should care for and love their people in the same way that Jesus would. Well, this brings us to the second part of the calling which Peter mentions here in verse 2. He says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. And it says, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. If an elder's role is to look after the spiritual welfare of their people, to shepherd them in a godly way, it is also to watch over them. This is the overseer part of the elder's job description. The elders are responsible for overseeing or managing the affairs of the church. As elders, they are to exercise authority over the church and to make sure that things in the church are done in an orderly and smooth way. The buck stops with the elders when it comes to the running of the church. And so there is a kind of an administrative function that falls to the elders, whether they like it or not. That doesn't mean that the elders have to do all the work. Of course, that's not realistic. But it does mean that it is their responsibility to make sure that all the moving parts of the church happen in a decent and proper way. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4, one of the qualifications for an elder that gets mentioned is this. It says he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If you want to get at least a bit of an idea of how well an elder is going to oversee the work of the church, look at how he manages his own home. There's a management role. Like it or not, elders need to keep their finger on the pulse of what's happening in the church. It is their responsibility to be in touch, to be exercising oversight. It's an important work. It can be challenging at times, but as it tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the work of an elder or an overseer is a noble task. It is a good thing to do. Almost always when the New Testament talks about the matter of church leadership, it uses the word elders in the plural. And it seems that what the Bible is teaching is that churches ought to be led by a group of elders, not just one elder. And I think that's an important little detail, because the task of leading a church is just too much for one man. It needs a team of elders. It needs a team of people who can sort of share the load and work together to provide wise and godly leadership. In our church in Brisbane, according to our constitution, we have provision for up to 10 elders. I think at the moment there are seven or eight of them. But each of those elders has a portfolio of responsibilities that they have to oversee. And so there'll be an elder who will look after, example, youth and children's ministries, an elder who will look after music or the older folk or certain areas of pastoral care, whatever it might be. But those elders are responsible for looking after different areas and functions of church life. And what that does is it frees up the full-time pastors to be able to focus on their primary role, which should be preaching and teaching and pastoral care. And I think these days, as the administration load gets heavier and heavier, it's very important that all that administration doesn't land in the lap of the pastor, the full-time paid pastor, so that he's unable to spend the time that he needs on his preaching and teaching ministry. I would say today to Pastor Ben, keep shepherding the people here at Gympie Baptist. And do that primarily by standing up here in front of your people week by week and feeding them God's word. Keep applying the truths of the Bible to the lives of your people here. Pray with them. Pray for them. This is your main responsibility. But to the other elders, I would say it's important that you understand the spiritual nature of your role. It is primarily a spiritual role. Yes, I know it's important for people to arrange flowers and look after the grounds of the church and those sorts of things. That's important. And I think the elders need to allocate some of these areas of responsibility to people in the church. But they shouldn't become so distracted by those other things that they are unable to do the spiritual work, which is most important. They need to take that role very seriously. You know, one day, the elders of the church are going to be held to account for the work that they do. Like parents, elders are responsible ultimately for the shaping of the lives of those who are under their care. And so just bear that in mind. You know, I mean, I think that as the elders know their people well and work out where various people's gifts and things lie within the church, they're able to include more and more people in the smooth running of the church. But ultimately, the buck stops with them. Elders, keep on loving your people. Keep on encouraging them to follow Jesus. Ultimately, it is your job to keep the church spiritually healthy, to keep it operating in a way that honors Christ. Well, that's their calling. That's the elders' calling. But Peter now goes on to deal with another important aspect of an elder's life. And he mentions this in verses 2 and 3. And he talks here about the elder's character. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Elders come in many different models and personalities. Some are extroverts. They have a lot of charm, a lot of charisma. Others have a quieter personality. Some are good preachers. Some are better one-to-one. Some have a sense of humour, others are more serious. Some are more approachable and easier to talk to. But, I mean, that's okay. God can use all types. In fact, I think it's good to have a variety of elders and pastors. I mean, I've worked with many pastors and elders over the years, and it's amazing how different all these people are. But the important question is, what's the heart like? What are they like on the inside? That's the important thing. Because that's what's most important when you're choosing your elders. And in these verses, Peter mentions three specific things that tell us a lot about the inner life of an elder. The first thing he mentions is that he serves gladly and willingly. Be shepherds of God's flock, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. The demands of church leadership are far too great for a man to be able to keep on going year after year after year if his heart's not in it. I became a pastor by accident 36 years ago. I'd been a doctor for 10 years at that stage. I was preparing, I thought, to go to the mission field. But the church in Billawela at that time had no pastor. And I was pressed into the role out of sheer necessity. There was nobody else to do it. And the deacons came to me and they said, Murray, you've been to Bible college for a couple of years. You'll have to step into the role. And I thought, wow. I didn't even do pastoral subjects when I was at college. I did mission subjects. Anyway, in his kindness, God gave me a taste of pastoral life for 3 months. And after 3 months, when the church still couldn't get someone to replace me, they said, well, can you do another 3 months? And I thought, gee, yes, I suppose I can. And so I had 6 months to get a taste of what pastoral ministry was like. And I came to realize at the end of that six-month period that I belonged in pastoral ministry, if I could put it in those terms. It was a joy to me. It wasn't a burden. I was able to say, yes, I can be an elder in this church or a pastor in this church. Not because I have to, but because I want to, because I'm willing. And I came to the realization in my heart that those previous 10 years were actually God's way of preparing me for my longer-term calling, which was to be a pastor. I mean, I've learned over the years that life as an elder or pastor can be an extremely busy and stressful task. There's not much glamour in it. There's not much kudos. There's a lot of responsibility, and sometimes that responsibility is pretty heavy. But those who step into this role should do so gladly and willingly. Not under compulsion, not out of a sense of guilt. Yes, with their eyes wide open, but willing to make the sacrifice that is required. That's the first thing. We do so gladly and willingly. Second thing is that the elder should not be motivated by money. Look at verse 2. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. It's a very sad day when money becomes an inducement for a church leader. I think certainly pastors should be looked after financially so that they can devote themselves more fully to their ministry. But they should never see pastoral work as a way to profit financially. You can learn a lot about a person by seeing how they view money, how they handle money. And pastors, in their lifestyle, I think, ought to be modest. But nor should money become such a big issue that it then becomes a distraction for their ministry. They should be freed up to be able to focus on their spiritual role without having to be constantly worrying about how they're going to survive, maybe as a family. And it's your job as a church to support them and to take care of them in that regard. I think churches should compensate their pastors fairly and free them up so that they can get on with their job. It's not the church's job to keep the pastor poor, but nor to offer such a lucrative financial package, you know, that it also then becomes a temptation. My wife and I raised 6 children, and I'm very thankful to say that over the years of our pastoral life, we were able to live reasonably comfortably. And can I say, Centrelink was a huge blessing as well. The third character area that Peter mentions here is in verse 3, where we see that the elder should lead humbly and by example. It says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. In many ways, the desire for power and control over people is a greater problem for church leaders than greed. And pastors who abuse their authority and lead by dominating people and manipulating people and using people they are a dishonor to Christ. It's always very sad when you hear stories of church leaders who are bullies or control freaks. In fact, it should be the opposite. Elders should get down on the same level as their people and treat them with love and respect. They should have servant hearts like Jesus. By their humility and by the genuine concern that they show, they earn the trust and they earn the respect of their people. What they're doing is leading by example, not bossing people around, but showing how relationships ought to work within God's family. And of course, the greatest example we have here is the example of Jesus himself. His whole life was one of humility and self-sacrifice. And ultimately, of course, he went to the cross. The Apostle Paul, on a couple of occasions actually, said this. He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Now that's a pretty scary thing to say. To be able to say to another person, if you follow me, you will follow Christ. And yet there's a sense, I think, in which an elder, maybe with a fair bit of anxiety, as he says so, ought to be able to say to the people, I want you to follow me because I'm really seriously doing my best to follow Christ. I might not be perfect. I might let you down from time to time, but I'm going to give it a serious shot. In 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul said to Pastor Timothy, he said, let everyone see your progress. As a pastor of people, as an elder within the church, are you letting others see your progress? You never know who might be watching, and of course you will let people down from time to time. You won't be perfect. But elders ought to be at least practicing what they preach. Well, Peter then concludes his word to the elders in verse 4. And he talks here about the elder's crown. I've tried to keep it 3 C's. All right, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Elders must view the work that they do without expecting any special reward. They simply do it out of love for Christ and love for his church. Church leadership is not about power, it's not about prestige, it's not about status. In fact, there's no real glamour in being an elder or pastor, except maybe in a mega church in America or Nigeria or somewhere like that. I don't know. But certainly in my experience, there's not much glamour in being an elder or pastor. And often there's a fair dose of pain. Sometimes, you know, you can faithfully serve for years and years and years and have not much to show for all the hard work that you've done. I mean, how do you measure success when it comes to ministry in a small country church like Gympie? How do you measure whether the elders are doing a good job here, whether they've been successful? Is it the weekly attendance figures? Is it the number of members or the number of baptisms or conversions? Is it the weekly giving statistics? What about whether people are growing in their faith or becoming more like Jesus? Or the amount of love and unity within the church? I mean, how do you measure these things? Only God really knows how effectively the elders are doing their job. To be honest, I think some of the church growth experts these days don't really help when they talk about KPIs. You know what KPIs? They're key performance indicators. And they can sometimes hold up these targets, and pastors and elders can flog themselves trying to hit these targets. It's like running a business. All that does is creates anxiety and burns out pastors and elders. But what is important is that the elders stay faithful and humble as they serve the Lord. And even if their efforts go unnoticed or unappreciated, they keep on fronting up. Because, why? One day, the chief shepherd, the head of the church, one day the Lord Jesus Christ himself is coming back. And when he does, those faithful, godly elders who have hung in there, serving in their little churches, are going to be rewarded, and they're going to receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Whether we're talking about the pastors and elders of a megachurch, or whether we're talking about the no-name pastors and elders of a small, struggling country church, the important thing is that God notices. He sees what they do. And on that day, when the chief shepherd returns, it's going to be worth it. Church leadership is not about high-profile superstars. It's about ordinary leaders who love Jesus and who are willing to love and serve his people. And the results of that ministry ultimately are up to him. And so is any reward that might go with it. Friends, every church needs the kind of leaders that Peter is talking about here in these verses. Gympie Baptist needs spiritual shepherds like this. Needs men who will lead the church spiritually. Who will serve gladly and willingly, who are humble and godly in their character, who are not looking for personal glory or personal gain, men who will be strong in the face of opposition and lead by example, men who love Christ and will be faithful in serving his people here. That's what he's looking for. And so can I just ask you this morning, just as we finish, to pray for your elders here. Pray for Ben. Pray for Derek and Randall and Russell and Dean. I think I've got you all there. Pray that God might use these guys to lead this church well. Support them. Encourage them. Make their work a joy, not a burden. And through their leadership, it is my prayer that you will all grow closer to Christ, and that this church might bear a strong and faithful witness and an ongoing witness to this local community here, to Gympie and to beyond. That's the kind of church that, of course, God wants you to be, and he needs to have good leaders to help bring that about. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, which contains so much, Lord, to speak into this church here in Gympie. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up true spiritual leaders and that this church might continue to flourish and grow and become a beacon of light and of truth, Lord, into this local community. We pray, Lord, that the men who lead this church will be shepherds who will preach and teach the truths of the Bible, and not some watered-down message that accommodates to the modern world. We pray, Lord, that they'll be shepherds who will love your people well and keep pointing them to Christ. We pray that they'll be shepherds who will humbly but courageously lead this church, especially, Lord, when challenges and difficulties arise. We pray that they will be shepherds who will stand firm against false teaching. And, Lord, that their lives might be a faithful example of what it looks like to be a true disciple of Christ. Oh, Father, bless this church, we pray. Especially today, we pray for Ben and Derek and Randall and Russell and Dean. Encourage them, Lord. Give them a special measure of your Spirit. And through this team of leaders, Lord, may this church continue to grow and become an even more powerful witness for Christ in this town and district. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.